Today in the studio, folks, I've got a badass for you, a real treat. Jason Walker, otherwise known as J-Dub Moneymaker. What's cracking?
What is up, Bradley, man? Yeah, J-Dub Moneymaker is what they call me in the HVAC industry, man.
If you guys don't know who he is, you can follow him at HVAC Masters of the Hustle, or you can go to HVACMastersOfTheHustle.com. Now, you've been in the HVAC business for how long?
About 13 years now.
Well, one of the reasons I wanted you on this show is because I like to show people how to make money.
Oh, yeah. You know,
get them out of the rat race. Absolutely. That's why I started a couple companies of my damn self. Real financial, real solar, and real merchant. Now, I was thinking the other day, man, maybe me and you need to start real HVAC.
Absolutely.
Because I was talking to people at that event, dude, and there's people that have literally built and sold a HVAC business within 3 years for multiple millions.
For millions and millions.
Nobody knows. People are sleeping on the HVAC business.
And I say this industry is a hidden gem, you know?
I didn't know it when I was a kid. That's for damn sure.
Well, I mean, you come from, a lot of people come, you know, from real estate sales and car sales and things like that. And you have to generate your own leads, right? The thing about HVAC, which makes it the secret sauce, is the leads are given to you, Brad.
By whom?
By the company, right? So you're not out there knocking doors or anything like that, like solar does today. Your company provides about 3 leads, hot leads per day. It's either a marketed call, right? Where someone calls in and says, hey, my system's not working, or I'm in the market, I want to replace my system. Well, you go out there, you create the want, the need, right? And all of a sudden you're happily involving a homeowner, or they're on your club membership database, right? They've been going on the club membership, getting tune-ups for several years. And all of a sudden they have a 15-year-old system that needs, you know, $2,000 in repairs. Well, as a technician, if you inform and educate the right way, homeowner is going to ask, well, how much is a new one? All of a sudden, you turn it over to what we call a comfort advisor. They go in there, they close the deal, happily involve the homeowner. But these are hot leads. And there's people in this industry that are, you know, ex-cons and felons, you know, high school dropouts that I know personally, making multi-millions and millions of dollars, you guys. It's crazy. I mean, you could take my experience of the way I grew up and everything like that, which I'm sure you'll ask me my story. But, you know, I went from making, you know, paycheck to paycheck. You're talking about the rat race.
Now, were you with Jackie then?
I was with Jackie then.
So you remember the broke days?
Oh, sure.
He got into this world from my dad, so.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Is your dad in it?
Yes, he owns
it. Oh, okay.
Yep, so he owns a company. So kind of tell you, you know, why I got into this industry. Prior to this, about 14 years ago, I was a police officer.
You were?
Yeah. I was laid off from the budget cut.
You don't look like a cop. That's for damn sure.
That's what people say. It's really hard to believe, you know? But yeah, I was a cop for 2 years. I was laid off from the budget cut. Her dad walked up to me and said, you know what, boy, I was testing through an agency in Southern California, and he didn't want to see his little baby girl leave 8 hours away from Northern California. He said, I have a good opportunity. Went into the office. He started me off as a duct cleaner. So just to let you all know, you know, I went in like the gopher, the grunt of the grunt, cleaning people's dead skin, everything like that, just to get myself introduced to this crazy
dead
industry.
Skin. You mean up in the vents?
The vents, yeah. That nasty shit that people breathing.
Skin in there?
Dead skin, dust, mold.
Can that shit get you harmed?
Oh, absolutely. It could get you sick. Absolutely.
Really? How do you get a good douching?
A good douching right there. So it's called a system rejuvenation, right? So
how do I get one in my house?
So what I would do is recommend calling a local contractor up here in Las Vegas. You know, there's a lot of good companies. Shout out to Gettle, a really good company out here. But their technicians would do a full system rejuvenation.
Hard to spell, but easy to say.
Exactly, right? They don't do it the hard way. They do it the right way. So you know, you do a full system rejuvenation. You take everything out of the system. You add indoor air quality products like air scrubbers, which is going to create hospital grade air. And
where do you get air scrubbers?
You get them from the supply house, the company.
I have rabbit airs. Do you know what those are?
No. What is rabbit airs? Tell me about
They're the ones that like take out the cigar smoke in rooms.
Well, pretty much same thing. Yep. Yeah. Same thing.
You've never heard of rabbit air?
No, I've never heard of rabbit air. Something I'll have to do.
I'll show you when we get off here. I got 5 of them here, a couple at my house.
So same concept, right? If you're smoking, so what you're telling me is you could sit there, smoke a cigar, all of a sudden you're not smelling it, right? The smoke's not in the air. Same thing. So people are turning their house into hospital grade air because we want to preserve those systems and make sure we get long life out of them, right? But, you know, as we're going through this ventures of me starting in this industry, starting off as a duct cleaner, doing that for a couple of years, being a grunt of the grunt, then learning the trade of doing installs. You know, I'm a tall guy. I'm 6'3", 200 pounds. California is where I'm from. There's some tight attics. So I did that for about a year and a half. You know, it takes a toll on your body when you're up in an attic and it's 160 degrees and you're up there for 8 hours running duct work and system replacement. And mentally, you got to be strong. I mean, this is an industry not for everyone. I'll tell you that.
But the money's not made crawling around attics.
I mean, there's some installers making $200,000.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought the money was being made selling the deal.
You could make, so I mean, you could be a service technician. There's service technicians that I know of that are selling systems and working on systems that are making $800,000, $900,000 as an employer or as an employee, not an employer.
So they must be on commission of some kind.
No, straight commission. That's the only way to do it, right?
Straight commission.
Straight commission. No salary. So as myself being in the game, right, I went from the install position to now I'm being promoted to a comfort advisor. But before that, I was a warehouse manager.
Is a comfort advisor a snazzy name for salesman?
Salesman, yeah. Because, I mean, as a dispatcher, you don't want to call a client and just be like, hey, I'm going to go ahead and send out a salesman or a sales girl to your office or to your house, right? What's going to happen? All of a sudden, they're going to show up. Those walls are going to be up. It's our job as professional sales professionals, technicians, whatever you want to call yourself, to make sure that within the first 5 seconds of us meeting the homeowner, we got to start dropping down those walls immediately because we're getting prejudged, right? It's all about the customer experience, the customer relationship. I'm really big into, as a comfort advisor, not going in there talking just straight business, right? We have to go in there, Brad, and we have to create a relationship and give that homeowner an experience before they buy into anything. Mm-hmm. And that's what people don't understand in our industry is they go in there too focused, too tunnel vision on one thing. And that's either tuning up the system or looking to repair the system. What I'm out there doing is informing and educating the homeowner with their hard-earned money so they can make the best educated information, you know, decision based off the solutions I'm providing them. That's my job as a professional is to create the relationship, build that relationship, giving them an experience. And then also, like I said, asking for the order, creating solutions for them, asking permissions to give them solutions.
Now you have a podcast also in the business, right? What's it called?
HVAC Masters of the Hustle. It's the number one podcast for the trades.
So if you're in the HVAC space, you already know probably Jason Walker.
Oh yeah. They better know J-Dub Moneymaker.
J-Dub Moneymaker. Is that what everyone calls you?
Yeah. So the way I got that name is being a comfort advisor growing up, you know, I'd run turnover techs and calls would come in and we had, you know, 7-8 comfort advisors. And as the turnovers were coming in, they'd say, man, I want Jason to run it. I want Jason to run it. Well, why do you want Jason? Well, because J-Dub's making us money. My name's Jason Walker. So the nickname is J-Dub. And I'm always making people money when I go into calls.
Why?
You know, why?
What are you doing that everyone else wasn't?
It's the process. It's being consistent, Brad. The thing is people shoot from their hip all the time. They don't understand processes and procedures. You know,
I'm a gunslinger myself.
Well, I'm a gunslinger too, but if you go against me in the house and you're shooting from your hip, I'm going to dominate you every single time.
Well, all I do is roll with you for a couple times and then adopt whatever it is you're saying.
Exactly. Rob and duplicate, right? That's all we do.
That's why I don't understand why more people don't go into sales. They're like, you know, I suck at sales. Dude, just go listen to the top person selling and then emulate what they're saying and doing. And more than likely, you'll end up with their same result.
Well, one thing you were talking about was the rat race, right? So I was in the rat race. You know, I was living paycheck to paycheck. I'm very open about this.
How'd Jackie like that?
Oh, she hated it. But she stuck with me.
How's Jackie's dad like that?
Oh, probably hated it even more. You know,
Jackie's dad sounds like a cool dude.
He's a cool dude. He's a big motherfucker. I'll tell you that.
So he snatched you by the neck and said, get over here.
Oh, yeah. He's an intimidating dude. He's freaking He's a big guy. I'll tell you that.
Bigger than you?
Oh, much bigger than me. Not tall wise, but built wise. Absolutely.
He would have kicked your ass if you.
No.
No. He would if you abused his daughter.
Oh, yeah. He'd shoot me. He wouldn't kick my ass. He'd shoot me.
Yeah, you don't abuse people's daughters. That's for sure.
So you know, I got promoted at one point in this industry, which was probably the low of the low. And I'm talking about...
Was this for his company?
This was not for his company at the time. He ventured and started his own company because he was tired of making people money. So what my father-in-law is really good at, where he really created the name in the industry, is... He would take companies that were struggling and just blow them up and then do it again 3-4 years later.
What do they call him?
Company. Bill Roberts.
Bill Head Crusher Roberts.
Yeah, Head Crusher Roberts, right? And so I got promoted after installs to being a parts manager at the warehouse, right? And I'm making $55,000 salary. And this is why I would never, ever take a salary or commission or a salary or a hourly job, is because people get too comfortable. And so I was living above my means at this time. I had a Tundra that was not just repoed once, but twice. The second time it got repoed at my work parking lot.
But you got it back?
I got it back two times.
Yeah, I had a car get repoed a couple times, you know? You get it back.
But now you talk about it happening at your work parking lot. So now you're bringing all your stuff to work, and now they could all see what's happening and things are unfolding, right? Well, I talk about defining moments. This is a defining moment where I had to take a look at my life and I had to make a change, and I had to make a change quick. So I went up to the owner of the company. I said, give me the option to be a comfort advisor. He just let go of one. And I said, I feel like I would be the perfect candidate for you. Well, here's the thing, Brad. He's never, in the 32 years at this time this company was around, he never had a $2 million comfort advisor. Well, it was my goal and my mission to be that first $2 million guy. So my first 8 months, I cleared $2 million. I did $2.2 million. Average ticket, about $10,500.
No, how much commission do you make on $2.2 million?
So that was the thing. I only made $120,000 off of it, but my commission structure was set up at 10%. But what I understood after my first year of selling is, as professionals, we sell a lot of times the way we purchase, right? So I'm a 0% purchaser. I never offered 9.9% for 15 years just because I never thought anyone would buy it. Well, in HVAC, if we ever do a loan, companies have to pay a high merchant fee if you're offering 0%, okay, 15%. So I'm offering 0% on everything. I'm starting at 10%, but I'm only averaging 5% take-home commission. So I talked to another gentleman, and he said, man, I did $2 million. I made $200,000 off of that. Same structure. After talking to him, that's what I found out, is he's offering these financing. People are buying into it, and he's working smarter, not harder. Also, when we talk about battling objections, okay, or discounts, homeowners would ask me a discount or give me an objection. I didn't feel confident in it, so I discount my price. And then all of a sudden, there's no value behind that discount. What are they going to continue to do? Ask for another discount. Then all of a sudden, you're making low commission off of it, and again, making $120,000. So following the next year, after fine-tuning my skills, right, I've done over $4 million. I have an average ticket of $19,500. If a company gets me in the door on a tech turnover call, it's closed at 72% at $19,500. If it's a marketed call, it's closed at 67%. So what happened was...
That sounds like strong for most sales industries. Is that strong for HVAC?
It's extremely strong, yes.
What's the average?
The average is about 12.5 industry standards for average ticket closing percentage.
So you're closing 5 times better than the average Joe?
19.5. So I'm closing 19,500. Their average ticket's 12,500.
Oh, I thought you meant 12%.
No.
Of the deals.
No.
What closing percentage?
So closing percent, 72%. So if
what's not yours, average.
Average, about 38, 35.
Yeah, so that's
in the industry.
That's higher than normal.
Oh yeah, absolutely double.
Like you sell cars as 20% and not even that sometimes.
Yeah. And so what happened is now people are hearing the numbers that I'm throwing out, right? There's a want and there's a need there. Now I'm going to training events and people are like, hey, you want to go to a baseball game today? You want to go to a steak dinner? I'm like, damn, this is pretty cool. There's a want, there's a need. Then I went back 4 years ago. I said, man, how can I reach more people instead of just going to these training events, right? And all of a sudden I sat down, I looked at the podcast space. You know, Joe Rogan has his podcast that was blown up. And I'm like, man, there's not a lot of podcasts in HVAC. And all of a sudden, boom, 4 years ago, that's when HVAC Masters of the Hustle was born. And the thing
has that made you a lot of, number one, money, number two, absolutely, notoriety.
Absolutely.
So everyone should start a podcast.
Oh, I think getting yourself out there, stepping outside your comfort zone. So just to be transparent with you, I'm an introvert. I'm a very shy person. So when you saw me in Las Vegas and on stage in front of 1,000+ people, or me putting on my own events in front of thousands of people, you know, or throwing the podcast, it's outside my norm. But I understand that when we could put ourselves in uncomfortable situations and shit, we could exceed. The sky's the limits of what we can do when we're comfortable, right? So I'm always teaching and also putting myself in uncomfortable situations all the time, because I know, like, for instance, this podcast, right? This is something that's way outside my comfort zone, because you have a heavy listening. Like, my podcast, which is doing really well, is about every single episode, 10,000 listeners. You know, I look at your stuff and all of a sudden you got millions of different followers and people looking at your podcast. So being outside,
you're going to be famous.
I'm going to be famous, baby. J-Dub, that's the whole point of this, right? Is making sure you get yourself outside these uncomfortable situations, because when opportunity knocks, and I want these listeners to understand, when opportunity knocks, you have to walk through the door. I mean, there's too many times. Or at least
walk to the door.
Walk to the door. But
some people don't even walk to the door.
The thing about it is,
you said walk through it. Shit, some of them don't even walk to it.
And it's crazy, right? People allow fear to get into their way of greatness.
Well, that and, you know, a lot of times opportunities disguised as risk.
Absolutely.
And nobody wants to take any risk.
Absolutely.
They want to be safe. They want to remain unscathed.
No risk, no rewards, baby. Right?
Well, not right, but that is the saying.
So going back to what I was saying is, I was making a very low amount of money. I was struggling. I was living paycheck to paycheck. I was in the rat race. And then all of a sudden I started the podcast. Podcast didn't take off right away. I probably had my families, my cousins, you know, were the 20 listeners listening to it. And then all of a sudden, fast forward 8 months, it took off, right? I had a business owner, defining moment, gave me a call and said, hey, you know what, Jason, I've been listening to your podcast for quite some time. I love the content that you're doing. He lived in San Diego.
Is it all HVAC?
All HVAC. And he said, I want to send you out here and fly you out to do on-site training with my company. Now, again, being an introvert, not ever doing a training. Also, working for a company, a contractor in Sacramento, still working 10 hours a day, right? Doing HVAC sales and everything like that while building my podcast. So I took the leap of faith and I went to this contractor and I rode along 3 days with the technician. And fast forward 3 months, he called me and said that he tripled his income. He was able to pay off his debt. He was a single father, had two girls in high school, and was able to pay for like their dresses or something for prom or something like that. Something he was never able to do. Okay. Now, when I hung up with him, you know, as a technician or a comfort advisor in this space, in this industry, it's rewarding when you know, get an old couple up and going with a system that's non-op, or you happily involve them with a new system, a young couple with a baby. But when you hang up, and you get this all the time, and someone tells you that you're changing their life, it's fucking game changer.
Sure.
And I was addicted. So from then I left, took the leap of faith. I was making over 300,000+ as a comfort advisor, 400,000. People thought I was crazy, Brad, 2 years ago when I took this, or 3 years ago when I took this leap of faith. I walked away from a job making 400,000. And at that time, I just bought a brand new house in California. My wife and I, we adopted both of our sons. At this point, we were just finalizing our adoption with our little boy. So I had all this new stuff coming at me that I'm like, all right, this is the time to do it, right? Shit or get off the pot. Because as I continue to grow my training, what happened was I sat down with the company and I said, what I want to do is I want to continue the podcast, but I also want to do these on-sites because of what I just got to experience. And so the company didn't want to see me leave because I'm a producer, right? And so they made an agreement with me that they're going to allow me to do one on-site training per month. Well, what happened was I was doing one per month, and then all of a sudden I got where I could do two per month, but I was throwing that second one 12 months out or 6 months out, right? Well, now it's shit or get off the pot, because every single month I had two consecutive. So I went to the owner. I said, you know, I understand that you guys gave me this opportunity, which I'm thankful for, but I gotta take this leap of faith, man. And ever since this leap of faith, just to let all the listeners know, we became the top podcast for the trade, part of the podcast of the trade. I'm the top fastest national trainer in the industry right now. No one is out hustling me. No one's out grinding me. I'm every single week, my trainings are booked out over a year. We do about 4 to 5 onsites. And hey, you guys, it's not cheap. People are paying me $200,000 for onsites. Like, this is, and the results that they're getting are just amazing, through the roof.
Sure. Why don't you start your own company?
Well, and that's the next thing, right? Is starting our own company. I'm in the mix right now of talking to a local contractor, which we're in the mix of the details of everything right now. But 2023, some big things are happening. I'm going to be joining partnership with a local company as well in Sacramento. And the sky's the limits, like you said, right? A lot of people right now in the HVAC industry are growing their companies within 3 to 5 years. And there's a gentleman I know in Southern California right now that just sold his company in 5 years for $200 million.
Bang.
That is insane.
That's a nice chunk of change.
That's a huge chunk of change, right? And then you have the godfather, King Goodrich, who sold his company for half a billion.
I met him.
You did meet him. We had a little conversation. He was in your phone, but you never contacted him.
Well, I mean, you know, I'm not in the HVAC space. I'm not one of those guys that, like, you know, get impressed with the guy did well, because I know a lot of people like that.
Absolutely.
He seemed like a nice guy. He said, you know, we exchanged numbers, but there was no call me next week and let's figure out a way we can do something. So I never called him, because I had really, you know, I thought he was being courteous.
Yeah.
Like, so, I'm not in the HVAC industry.
So now, knowing that, you know, what the HVAC has to offer, is it something that you're looking into getting into?
Well, not fully myself, but what I've been doing is putting together companies to, like, give people jobs, basically. So I used to teach them what to do, but they wouldn't go do it. So now I'm starting the companies to where I can just put them in the company or the vertical. And I think HVAC is one of them. But I want to, you know, vet it out a little bit more before I get too far into it. I got to see exactly what, like, opportunities exist.
Yeah.
What opportunities exist.
I mean, there's a lot of opportunities out there.
If somebody right now is busting their ass making 80 grand doing construction, how much could they make busting their ass in HVAC? 200-300?
I think the minimum that someone can make easily in this industry, in any market, is 100,000, six figures minimum. As an installer, as a technician, you guys should be making that. I mean, if you're in a different industry and you guys are working your ass off, right, and you guys are struggling to make six figures, and you guys are out there creating your own leads, your own opportunity, I'm telling you, the hidden gem is HVAC. You guys have to get into the game.
Eh? There it is, folks. Hey, and by the way, now so full time now, you're training people.
Yeah.
Doing on-sites for organizations. So if there's Bomb Squad listeners that own an HVAC company and or are in the HVAC space as a comfort advisor, they would want to train with you.
Yeah, absolutely. So what makes my training platform different than everyone else that offers training in the HVAC space is we do things a little bit different. So people throw these seminars, which we throw, which is great. But also when it comes to on-site training, this is huge. A lot of trainers in our space just sit in a classroom, right? And they do an 8-hour presentation of people taking notes and all that stuff. Bunch of boring shit. You know, they sit up there and they talk the talk, but they don't actually show that they walk the walk. So what I do is I start every single training and I do 2-hour classroom training. After we end the classroom training, I'm going and implementing in the field exactly what I've been teaching and training, because some things that I do train are, you know, you got to have some big weebos to do it, you know?
Like what? And, give me one example.
You know, so staying in the batter's box, you know, asking for the order multiple times, creating seeds and nuggets, and using the homeowner's verbiage or wordage against them.
What's the number one objection you hear in the HVAC business?
I'm getting multiple estimates. I'm getting three bids. I got to talk to my wife.
How do you handle, I got to get three bids?
So multiple ways to do that. Good question, Brad. So I look at objections. Growing up, I played baseball. Okay. And so in the industry, there's really only five pitches that they could throw me. And so playing baseball, they got the high inside fastball. You got your curveball, you got your breaker, you got your slider, right?
But what about knuckle?
A knuckleball, whatever it is, right? But when you're in the batter's box, it's not like when I stood up to the plate and I crowded it, they're throwing me the high inside fastball and I'm moving outside the plate like a chicken shit, right? No, I'm still planting my feet. I'm still adjusting my hands and I'm still knocking the crap out of the ball. This is how I look at these objections, is that you have to plant your feet. They give you, I'm getting multiple estimates. I'm getting three bids, right? So first off, how are they getting those three bids? A lot of people go on what? Google. Hey, HVAC contractors, are they hiring your four stars, your five stars, your three stars? They're going up to 5, 4.8, 4.7. Okay. So in their eyes, everyone's on the same playing field. But what you have to do is you have to create fear and doubt that you're different than everyone else. How do you do that? Well, first off, when I'm in an appointment, the way that I teach my 7-step process, we're in that appointment for about 2 hours. Contractors in our industry are in there within probably 15, 20 minutes, writes an estimate on a napkin and then hands it to them. Okay. So if I get the objection, I'm getting three bids. One thing that I do is, first off, know your company. So for my story, that when I worked at the company in Sacramento, I would use the Ramirez story. So the Ramirez story is this little girl who was 3 years old, who was diagnosed with a respiratory cancer. And so what happened with this respiratory cancer was they had their house tested for mold and everything like that. And they found that there was mold and viruses and everything that was very deadly for this little girl to be breathing.
How do you get that test for homes?
For homes? You could buy them on Amazon.
Was it called a mold test?
I don't know the exact name of it, but there's a little test that you could sit on the countertop. You could let it test your air for an hour and it will give you a full reading of everything that's inside your air quality.
And you don't know what it's called? Because I want
not one off the top of my head.
I want my house to be hospital purified.
Oh, well, I got to come out to your house then. I will make your house a freaking hospital grade, just clean, clean, clean.
You yeah, I need a floors. Douching.
The douching.
What's
of
that
it,
called yeah? again? A rejuvenation?
System rejuvenation douching.
I need a system rejuvenation. my units work fine, I guess.
Yep. But and then you, so it's not just the system rejuvenation, right? So that's what cleans it, but what's going to make sure that it doesn't come back, right?
That's well, I just forget to change the filter sometimes.
Yeah, well, that's a lot of people miss, don't change the filters out. And that's one of the biggest reasons why systems fail today. As little, as minimal as that sound,
but they should make them a little easier to change.
Where's your filter at?
Like 30 feet up.
Oh yeah, that's a pain in the ass right there. So
you gotta have ladders.
You
go,
so then you tell me. I gotta
have cranes and shit.
So, as a comfort advisor, right? You're telling me these pain points and I'm listening. So what I would do is I would upsell you a 1 year, 5-inch pleated filter instead of changing it once a month, climbing up a ladder, right? It's located in the system. It's a tray that slides out. You throw it away once a year and it collects all the way to 3 microns, which is invisible to the eye. I get nerdy with this.
How come someone just won't start a service to come over and change my filters once a quarter?
I mean, they do.
Is there such a thing?
Yeah. I mean, companies do offer that.
I was going to say, because if they didn't, like, they'd be foolish.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
I'd buy it, but I don't have a HVAC company.
Yeah.
Nobody's knocked on my door.
No. Well,
nobody's called me. I don't have an HVAC problem. See, this is why people need to pay attention. They need to be proactive.
Yeah. And not reactive.
Well, because, I mean, if someone knocked on my door and said, hey, we'll charge you X amount of dollars. We'll be over here every quarter, change out your filters. We'll bring them with us. You don't have to do shit. Just pay us. I'd sign up for that.
Yep, absolutely.
Now I'm gonna get a million HVAC people calling me, but I'll do it. I'm good. I'm happy with it.
Oh, there you go.
How much do you think that would be worth?
Just changing filters.
Yeah.
I mean, you could do a annual filter maintenance and everything like that. And
annual, quarterly.
Quarterly. But what I'm saying is, you charge them the annual fee, right? So you're not collecting quarterly. So you're not chasing a bunch of money. So you do one time fee for annually, and then $200.
Annually?
Annually. But that's just to get your foot in the door. Let's go. Right? So that's just to get my foot in the door. But then I'm going to also, when I'm there, not just change the filter. I'm going to go through your system. I'm going to look at all the safety concerns for you. I'm going to inform and educate you anything outside manufacturer specs.
You can upgrade me fragrances.
Oh, yeah. We could put fragrances in systems if you want
to. Well, I saw it. The little things that you're supposed to throw on your filter.
You see it. You see them cool every breeze, once in a while. I always laugh when I see that stuff.
Well, they're trying to make their house smell like a, you know, spa.
Yeah, exactly.
Now every single day you're training people. Like that's what you do. You're not doing AC anymore.
No, HVAC. No HVAC. Everything is on-site trainings, thrown events, online trainings,
and podcasts.
And podcasting.
Now HVAC stands for heating, ventilation, air conditioning.
Yep. Boom. You want
air
a job?
Conditioning. Yep. Heating, ventilating, air ventilation, and air conditioning.
Yep.
So what was it that I was thinking about the other day that somebody in the HVAC business like had a plumbing license as well?
Yeah, there. I mean,
HVAC and plumbing. And I'm like, how's that go together?
There's a lot of companies that are emerging right now because when we're looking at the full envelope of the work, right? Now we want to get to those tickets that are instead of 19,000, 15,000, right? We want to group everything together. So a lot of companies out there are doing HVAC, they're adding plumbing, they're doing electrical, they're doing roofing, they're doing windows. So now instead of looking at just the HVAC for 20 grand, now you're looking at full envelope. What homeowner wouldn't want to do a full financing under one umbrella,
called
one contractor?
The home elevation.
Home elevation
program.
The home elevation program.
That makes you hap.
Absolutely. Right. So, I mean, there's a lot of things that are going on in our industry that's changing and people are evolving. It's crazy, Brad, because 10 years ago, if you would have asked or called a business owner or talked about these seminars that we're throwing today, they were unheard of. You know, myself, I'm one of the younger guys that you see me on social media. I'm trying to make this industry sexy to the younger generation. Plain and simple. I mean, there's too many, not enough young, you know, people going into our industry. You know, they think and there's nothing wrong with going to get a college education or anything like that, but they're just not aware about the money that you could make.
So if they want to know about it, can they hit you up?
Absolutely.
I bet you I got some bomb squad members that are out there listening going, shit, I'll do that. Didn't know. Like when I was out selling cars, I would have much rather. Well, I mean, selling cars, they walked onto your lot, so we didn't have to go find people. So that's what I like too.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're out there doing shit where you got to drum up your own business, like real estate agents who are sucking high and tit right now.
Right. Absolutely.
Why not just go freaking pick up 3-4 quality leads and start slinging air? Now, can someone do it with no experience or do you got to start out with a duct work operator?
Nah, dude. I take green people and I convert them to multimillionaires in sales 1 year.
How multimillionaires though?
What's that?
How multimillionaires?
So selling.
Yeah,
right?
But they're only making 300-400 grand a year.
Yeah, but if you look at that 10 years down the road, how much are they going to be throwing in their bank account?
Well, what's
right?
next after the sales position though?
Ownership, creating Start something else, company. Getting partnership in it. So a lot of people in our industry, what they're starting to do is heavy hitters that are performing, right? They start making deals with owners and saying, hey, because I'm, you know, last year you did 8 million with me bringing to the table, I got you elevated and you did 12 million. So you had X, Y, and Z percentage of growth. For next year, I guarantee I'll be here for 3 years, but I want to take 5% of the company, blah, 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 when you try to sell for your acquisition in 3 to 5 years.
How hard is it to start your own?
Not hard. You just
got
to do it.
What if I wanted one tomorrow to be called Real HVAC?
So it depends on the state that you live in, okay? So some states do make it really hard, like for instance, California. So California is
very everything hard.
Absolutely, right? I don't know why I live there. But there's a lot of testing that you have to do in California. So you have to have your C20 license, which is your HVAC license. Then on top of that, when you install a system, you have to have a Title 24 Herzrader come, which is a third-party company, to test everything to make sure it was all done to manufacturer specs and it's not leaking, you know, refrigerant or CO2 or anything like that, which obviously you don't want that to happen. So in other states, like I believe Kansas, right? or Kentucky, I don't believe you have to pull permits. If you wake up and say, hey, I want to be a HVAC contractor today, you could start today. You know, so it really, to answer your question, is just what state you live in.
Now, should people DM you and figure out whether or not they're in the right state?
I mean, absolutely. I mean, you guys can get a hold of me. My email address is jdub@hvacmastersofthehustle.com. You could check out my social media. You could reach us through our website, which is www.hvacmastersofthehustle.com as well.
How come you don't have any personal, like, at J-Dub Moneymaker?
So I do. So all my social media stuff and everything, it's been a new experience for me. You know, with the growth of everything, me learning, being new to everything, 2022 is really when I took advantage of the whole social media and getting out there. Once I started the seminars and people really grabbing attention to who I am and what I've been doing in this industry.
No, the hat is a logo from your podcast.
Yes, sir.
And then the medallion or the talisman. Right
here, yeah.
That's the same thing.
Same thing.
And you got a ring for it.
And I got the ring right there. Yep.
Now, like, that's branding right there.
That's branding right there, right? So how
do you say you give those away to people who earn a certain amount that went through your school?
Absolutely. So, I mean,
it's like a Super Bowl ring.
I mean, it's crazy because I got a beautiful Rolex on my hand, right? And this ring right here gets more compliments in the airport, dinner, wherever I am. People, are you a professional player? Blah, blah, blah. It just resonates.
It looks
with
like
them.
A Super Bowl ring.
And
big
so,
old bastard.
And so what it is, it's my logo. So I have a mic right here. And then down here has the five stars because we're always five star ring. We're a premier contracting training company. But just like you said, anyone that is part of my schooling, HVAC Masters of the Hustle, I've trained you. If you produce $3 million in 1 year of sold equipment, then I put you on stage, which is my upcoming event in January in California. And I present them with this crown champion Spartan ring.
What's the event in January?
It's going to be in California. It's start your year off with the bang. It's for business owners, technicians, comfort advisors, installers, anyone and everyone. The thing about our
industry. What's it called? Let me guess. HVAC Masters of the Hustle?
Nah, it's called the Big Bang.
Oh, okay.
The Big Bang. But
is it called the Big Bang every year?
No, we got different. I wanted it just because this is the first one that we're throwing in January, and I really want everyone to start their year off with the bang. You know, too many people in our industry, they make too many excuses about the first quarter because our industry is weather driven. And I just hear way too many excuses. So why not throw an event where I have, you know, the top names in the industry, your top one percenters that are going to be up there talking about growing your company, how to sell your company, how to, you know, create processes and procedures, the importance of being consistent, the importance of creating that relationship and that customer experience and how to go about that and really driving a roadmap for you and your team. So everyone has a good understanding. In our industry, there's different departments, right? But as I travel, I see that there's too much divisions in the department. When I'm on site training, the way that I see everything is like, you know, running the Olympics. What do? They pass that baton off. And what they do for years and years and years is they practice that baton pass because it could just take a little extra stretch, right, of passing that baton that could have them fail the race, which could cause a millisecond, right, off their race, which could cause them to lose it. So I'm a big believer that the customer experience starts with answering the phone, then the technician going out there giving them the experience, turning it over to a comfort advisor, giving them the experience. And then lastly, your install team's out there for 8 hours, maybe 2 days, and we don't take any time with the installers. And that's our initial last touch, right? That's our most important touch right there because that's where we're asking for our referrals. That's where we're asking for our reviews. That's where we're asking. What's that?
The installers?
The installers, yeah. They should be asking for that stuff too.
Well, do they though?
I mean, not unless they're being trained by me.
Damn.
They're missing too many people. Absolutely.
Dude,
right.
Even and salespeople don't ask for referrals.
No. And it's crazy. Dude, it's crazy to me that sales professionals in our industry don't go to their installs. Why would I not go to an install to make sure that what I promise gets delivered? And then what I do is I make gift certificates, right? Complimentary safety inspections. So I call it a six pack. So the house is right here. I go two houses on the side, three up in front. I bring the homeowner with me and I create my own opportunity, man. I go knock on the door. I say, hey, I have Bob and Betty with me right here. We're installing this system. Betty, go ahead and tell them about what we're installing. They're going to put you on a pedestal.
You pay Betty? Right?
I don't pay Betty, but they're going to put you on a pedestal. They're going to be so excited about what we're installing.
Have you ever had a hot, horny housewife open the door?
Oh, dude, I could tell you some crazy experiences. Okay. So I'll tell you a couple. Okay.
You're going to get a whole bunch of other bomb squad members. Oh man,
bomb squad. So yeah, this happens all the time, man. So I've gone into houses where like this lady won Cougar of the Year or MILF of the Year or something like that through some radio station. She was trying to take me out on a date. I've gone through houses where I'm walking and all of a sudden, I'm counting the registers and the vents and they're just fully nude, like right there changing in their bedroom.
What are registers?
Your supply vents where the air is coming out of. Oh. So I go around the house, I count them. I let the homeowner know what I'm going to be doing. So they know, they hear me counting, right? And then you see it all the time where, we go up in attics in California and a lot of people hide their sex toys in their closet, right? So as we're coming up or their drugs or whatever, you see on their top shelf right there, all their sex toys, a bunch of different stuff, man. You see crazy stuff in this industry.
Dang.
Hoarder houses. I mean,
what are porter houses?
Hoarder houses. Houses. Hoarders.
Like
oh yeah.
Full?
That's easy money. You go into a hoarder's house, all you got to do is walk in all the bedrooms, do your manual J heat load, show them that, because they don't want this to be done three or four times because they're embarrassed, right? So if you show them and they're like, do you really got to walk around my bedroom? And a lot of people would be like, you know what? No, you're right. I'm not going to do it. Or they'll do the measurements from outside. I'm like, no, I'm going to make this as painful as possible. So I'm the only contractor that's going to come out here and I'm going to have you walk around the whole house with me. You're going to give me the tour. But one thing that makes me different than car salesmen, right? Car salesmen, it's cool because they come to the lot. It's cool with HVAC because they come to you, but at a car lot, you don't know. I talk about form, family, occupation, recreational, material things. So before I ask for the sale, I go in my head, I go, okay, what do I know about their family right now? Okay, if I don't know anything, I haven't created enough relationship to ask for the order yet. Okay, now let's talk about occupation. Well, shit, what do they do for work? If I don't know what they do for work, I haven't created enough relationship yet, right? Talk about material things. So I, as a comfort advisor, I have a one step up than all these car salesmen because I'm walking around their house. People put different pictures on the walls and things that I could talk about that they relate to, right? And it makes the game a lot easier to sell when you're in the house rather than a car lot, right? Where you don't know anything about this person. You can't look around. You can't, it's a lot harder to create that relationship and that rapport.
Well, dude, a 65 to 70% closing ratio, that's pretty strong.
Yeah.
I should have you zoom in to my Closer School Live group tomorrow.
Well, let's do
give
it.
Give them a little J-Dub money maker.
A little J-Dub money maker, just a little.
But they sell everything. It's not just HVAC.
I could teach processes and procedures of this and anything.
You want to do it tomorrow?
Like. Yeah, absolutely.
You have time?
You let me know what time.
4 p.m. Pacific.
Got it.
I'll send you a link.
It's done.
The way it works is pretty simple. 5 minutes, we just do accountability from last week's challenge.
Yep.
Then we'll normally I or someone I bring will teach something for about 30 minutes. Then we'll do Q&A for 10 or 15 minutes. Then we'll assign a challenge or a homework.
Homework.
And we're done. 1 hour.
Let's go. Let's all do right. it. 4 done. O'clock p.m. tomorrow. Done.
J-Dub Moneymaker.
Done.
Tell them about the form. I like acronyms like that because people can remember those.
Oh, absolutely. So form stands for Family, Occupation, Recreational, and Materials. Okay. And again, when it comes to HVAC, the only ammunition that I have in the home is price. Okay. The second I unfold price, I'm dead in the water. That's why I talk about processes and procedures, right? The importance of the door knock, then going from the door knock to a comfort survey. I'm very big at the door knock, right? A lot of people are working from home right now. They're taking control of the appointment, telling you where to go. Wrong. As a professional, if they're controlling the beginning, who's going to control the close? They are, right? So what I do is teach how to take control in the beginning, then go to a table because as a technician or comfort advisor, it's my first time out there. They don't know who the hell I am. So put this in your mind real quick, Brad. You don't know me. You have kids. I go to your house and all of a sudden I walk into your daughter's room, who you said is 2 or 3 years old, right? Then I walk into your son's room.
I didn't say that.
Then I walk into your master bedroom. All of a sudden, as a homeowner, right, you're going to feel uncomfortable. You're going to be looking over your shoulder.
Especially with my watches out.
Especially with your watches out, right? So that's why I make sure that we create the relationship up front. We go to the table. Also, because people do business where they're comfortable. And where you start is usually where you finish. So after you go through your comfort survey, you build your relationship, you build your case, you find problem areas, you ask permission to give a solution, you pull out the budget. The last question on the comfort survey is the hardest one to ask. Hey, Bob and Betty, if I'm fortunate enough to design the safest and most economical system guaranteed to meet your needs today, is there any reason why I can't ask for business?
Well, I'm going to get 3 bids.
Well, boom. Okay. Thank you for allowing me to be a part of that process today. Well, now through my presentation, the next hour and a half, I know what doors I need to close. But people are scared to ask that question up front because they're fearful of the objection and they think they have to overcome it right there. They don't understand that you have the next 2 hours of your presentation to close those doors.
People get scared when someone says, I got to get 3 bids. You see people go, that's no problem. That's no problem. It's like they get all defensive. You know what I'd say if someone told me that? I'd say, let me ask you a question. What are you looking for in those 3 bids?
Absolutely.
Like, are you looking for the cheapest price? Because most people will be like, no. Mm-hmm. Well, what are you looking for? Because why would you get 3 bids? Well, there's only one reason you'd get 3 bids. Do you know what that is?
Best price.
No, so you know you're not getting reamed. Absolutely. In the bunghole. So people don't like to get reamed. So when you tell me, hey, it's $25,000, I got to go get 3 more bids just to make sure it's $25,000. Because what if this guy says the same shit as $12,000? Mm-hmm. I'd be like, because I've heard horror stories in the HVAC where you spent $25,000 on that. That's the exact shit so-and-so got for $12,000. And then, so that's why people want bids. That's why. So what it means is they don't trust you. You haven't built enough value or trust.
Absolutely.
In the presentation.
Absolutely.
So in the form, if you don't know enough about their family, you haven't earned the right to ask for questions. Oh, occupation. If you don't even know that, you certainly haven't had enough conversation. Absolutely. What's the R? Recreation. What do they like to do?
Yep.
If you don't know that, you don't know. Nope. Shit. And then what's the
materials? Yeah, walking around the house, looking at things on the walls, RVs in the parking lot.
Look at their materials.
Material things.
Look at their material possessions. If he has a Ferrari in a garage,
you'll know what type of buyer you're in front of.
Why?
At the end of the day, I feel like, you know, people that like nice things, they'll go with the high end efficient systems.
Well, sure. Why wouldn't they?
I mean, it just makes sense when payback on the ROI is there. People just don't understand that when they're not investing in a new system, right, they're throwing money away because technology has advanced so much in 20 years and the average life of a system is 20 years. And people want to make this system go longer, but they don't understand that it's, you know, charging them and they're overpaying by $100 a month maybe. And then if I could show them that I could finance them for $150 right a month on a 9.9 15 year loan with no prepayment penalty, and then I'm dropping your utility bill by $100 for a peace of mind, new guarantees and warranties, you're only pocket $50, you know, for a brand new system, guarantees and warranties. At the end of the day, that's what people aren't doing, is they're going through the full price, right? Always lead by financing. People are payment buyers.
Hey, now what's this Spartan thing? You keep mentioning Spartan.
Yes. So I believe everyone has a Spartan in them. You know, it's our inner beast. It's our inner greatness.
But why a Spartan?
Because, you know, I relate 300? To a Spartan. You know, I relate to a Spartan. I talk about being an introvert. So if Jason Walker, as a comfort advisor, a sales trainer, went into a call, you know, I would listen to those objections and probably cater down to them and say, okay, yeah, you're right. You know, we'll follow up with you next year. I'll send you an email. But no, when I change my mindset and I go in there, no, I'm J-Dub Moneymaker. Now I'm going in there and I'm going to overcome those objections and I'm going to stay inside that batter's box and I'm going to make sure I create that relationship with them. That's where that persona comes from. And I believe that everyone has this inner beast in them, Brad. You could take me, everyone used to say, The reason why J-Dub does an average ticket of 19.5 and closes at 76 is because he lives in California. Everything's expensive. I'm a proven fact. You throw me in any single market, I don't give a shit where it is, and I will produce the same exact thing. In 3 days of on-site, as long as I have 2 to 3 appointments per day, I'm executing anywhere between $80,000 to $150,000. So my training pays for itself.
Yeah. It's a no-brainer.
It's a no-brainer.
What's the deal we're going to do in March downstairs?
So downstairs, March, Bradley and I, we're going to throw a one-day event. And I mean, I'm telling you, business owners, comfort advisors, this is an event that you guys don't want to miss, man. I'm going to be talking about the 7-step process, which is taking thousands and thousands of people across the nation, teaching them a process, an easy process that you just have to stay consistent with. And I promise you, if you do this, you will make hundreds and thousands of dollars. You will create financial freedom for you and your family. We're doing it across the nation every single week. Every single day I wake up, I have email threads of how we're changing the industry and how we're just giving back.
So March 24th, Vegas.
Vegas, baby.
All day.
All day.
With me and you.
All, yep.
And I'm going to be bringing some sauce, my damn self.
Boom.
Now, my question is, it's a limited space.
Very limited.
So there's not that many tickets. This isn't a big, huge event where there's thousands of people coming. This is a small, intimate event where only a few people get to come. I think 60, maybe 75 tops.
Mm-hmm.
You've been down there.
Yep, been down there.
It's a nice thing. Leather recliners, it's going to be cool, but it's not a lot. So I'd get moving on those. Where do people buy tickets?
So you could go to our website, www.HVACmastersOfTheHustle.com. You could click events and it will bring you straight to it. Just register. We'll take payment right there. The investment costs on that, we're pretty much giving it away. $4,000. For you and I all day to create them to be multimillionaires.
And check this out. I'm going to pick 3 people out of the people to put on dropping bombs.
Boom.
So that right there is worth a ton.
Absolutely.
Because we can blow up your little business.
Absolutely.
Even if you don't get picked to be on dropping bombs, though, sounds like you'll walk away with information that'll make you hundreds of thousands, if not at least 100,000.
And that's just coming from me.
Do you need to be a business owner? Can anyone come?
Anybody that wants to make money, that has the drive to better themselves and believes in themselves, I want you there.
The first 60.
First 60. And well, actually, not even that. We're halfway sold out. I only think we have 30 tickets left.
Well, we can bring in a couple of those strip tables in the back, but I'm telling you, folks, it is limited, and you're not going to be able to get tickets if you don't hurry up and grab those bitches.
We want you to be comfortable.
We want you to be comfortable. That's right. That's why they got leather recliners down there.
Yeah.
Now, because you're so close to Vegas, you back and forth through here or no?
I come to Vegas all the time. All the time.
Do you gamble?
I do gamble, but I'm not. My wife loves to gamble.
What do you like to play?
Blackjack. She loves it.
Statistically, that's the safest one to play.
Yeah. So in Vegas, you didn't get to meet her because she was on the tables when you were on stage and we were talking.
That's funny.
Yeah.
So is the whole family in air conditioning?
No. So my brothers, they're still in law enforcement. I guess I come from a law enforcement and fire family.
I was going to be a cop. Did you know that?
Were you?
Yeah. Well, I mean, technically I am one.
Yeah.
Honorary.
You swore on?
I've been a sworn officer. Somewhere in California.
Somewhere. One of those cities out there.
It's a small town. Oroville.
Oroville, that's not far from us.
Oroville, California.
Wow, so that's about what, 45 minutes?
I'm a sworn officer in Oroville, California.
How'd you get it?
Because I was doing a keynote speech and I told them I always wanted to be a cop, because when I grew up, that's what I really wanted to be. But I got a couple DUIs right when I was like 18.
Yeah.
And they didn't, once you get a DUI where I live, they said, you're done. They won't even look at you anymore. So, and I got a couple. So I knew I ain't going to get approved. So I said, fuck it, and just didn't want to be a cop anymore. Or I still wanted to. I just never got to, which I think is stupid, because, you know, alcohol is not illegal. Obviously, somebody's going to make a mistake if I can drive drunk. And not only that, if you think cops haven't broke any laws their whole life, you're full of shit. Okay. Like I tell people when they're like, I'm a felon, so it doesn't matter. I'm like, dude, everybody's a fucking felon. Like, literally everybody's a felon.
I mean, absolutely. They just haven't been caught.
That's right.
You just didn't get caught.
That's it. So like that shit don't bother me, but it did screw up my ability to be a cop. So then I went in the Marines because I knew if I got out of the Marines, they would take any Marine they will take from the town I was in. Mm. Like that was the rule. So I'm like, okay, I'll go be a Marine and then I'll come back and be a cop. And ended up not doing that very well either. So I said, fuck it. So I'm on stage talking about this, and there was apparently the mayor of Oroville was in the crowd, and she came up afterwards and she said, did you really want to be a cop? I said, yeah. And she says, well, I am the mayor of Oroville, California. And I said, no shit. And she said, yeah. And I've got the power to deputize you or make you one. And I'm like, serious? And she goes, yeah, but you have to be sworn in. And I said, sure. So she said, well, give me a minute. And so some lady showed up and she swore me in right there on video and then handed me a badge and the whole nine yards. Love. And I'm like, cool. Now it was honorary, but I talked to my FBI buddy and he said, dude, if she swore you in, then that makes you a sworn officer, which makes you an actual mm-hmm. officer mm-hmm. of the law. And I said, I thought it was just ceremonial. She goes, she shouldn't have swore you in. She said she could have given you a badge uh-huh. and a certificate and all that. But when she swore you in, it's like,
you lifted your hand up, everything,
the whole bit. Oh, so yeah. I got it on video.
There you go. Boys in blue, baby.
Yeah. But apparently, I'm never in Oroville, so I got no yeah. jurisdiction.
Well, if you're ever in California, I'm 45 minutes away. They got a nice lake.
Do they?
Yeah. They got a nice Oroville lake. Houseboating.
Didn't it flood there one time?
Oh, yeah. 2 years ago? Yeah, the dam broke. They had to rebuild and construct the dam.
I should go down there and be a first responder.
First responder.
Well, dude, listen, you're a good dude, sounds like. You're out there trying to help people. If you weren't doing it in HVAC, you'd be doing it in law enforcement, right?
Yeah.
So now you're making some dough. You're showing other people how to make dough. You feel obligated to make everybody a Spartan.
Absolutely.
Huh? That's freaking, that's noble of you.
Yep.
So I hope you do well in life. You're going to start your own business or no? I mean, your own HVAC business.
Yep. 2023. I'm in the wakes of that. So that should be, I'll be making that announcement probably within the next 4 months.
Well, cause dude, my strength is reaching people. Mm-hmm. I can reach people. So when I said, hey, if you want to go to the rat race, come do my real financial, I had over 7,000 people within a week join that deal.
Mm-hmm.
And then some of them that had felonies, they couldn't do it because they need a license. So I'm like, okay, let me start real solar. Cause you can sell solar no matter what.
Yeah.
So I put a bunch of people in solar. Then I'm like merchant services. So I put a bunch of people in merchant services. I'll do the same thing for HVAC. Now I'm not going to go knock on doors and get deeply into the business, but if someone wants to partner with me in the HVAC space, dude, I can bring, like you said, you have five, how many comfort advisors did you have?
At the company that I was at?
Yeah.
There is about eight of us.
See, I could put 800 at that company.
Absolutely.
In a week.
So that's what
the question is where's the leads though? Cause if they don't have leads and
see, I got the good marketing. See, what makes me so strong in this industry is the partnerships that I've created. Right. So not only am I making money by doing these trainings, but the partnerships that we're getting, I'm getting residual every single month for financing manufacturers, my virtual video training platform.
Is there value bringing people to the industry?
Absolutely.
Because that's my strength.
Absolutely.
In fact, Bomb Squad, if you're out there right now and you're listening to this and you're like, damn, I'll give this a go, shoot him a freaking DM.
Absolutely.
At HVAC Masters of the Hustle, just like it sounds, HVAC Masters of the Hustle. Shoot him a DM, tell him you're from the Bomb Squad.
Absolutely.
And then give me some sort of credit or something.
Well, I mean, I think Brad and I are going to talk about potentially 2023 doing some big things in the HVAC space. I think we got some partnership that's going to go good.
Well, there's some opportunity in that industry, boy.
A lot of opportunity.
If you don't believe me, ask Bill Roberts.
Hell, boom.
All right, folks, listen. As always, until next time, appreciate you coming in, by the way.
Absolutely.
Nice to meet you. You guys didn't get to see, but his wife's here, Jackie. And as always, get out there, make that money, and keep shit real.